CTV.
I am not interested in surface considerations. I am into depth. I'm interested in depth. I'm interested in reality. I'm interested in getting to the bottom of things. I'm interested in honesty, because honestly, there is no time for anything other than this. When we were in the Christian religion, we played games. We pushed down our real feelings about things. We would not confront even ourselves what we really felt. We were trained to give the right answers, to have the right thoughts, to ask the right questions, and to behave in a certain way that was pleasing to the mob mentality of Christianity. When we came into the truth, we just wanted more than anything to finally let ourselves be honest. And when the truth finally bubbles up to the surface, it can look bad. Because suddenly now you're honest and you're starting from now a base of truth and a base of reality. You understand what I'm saying? Whereas for years you pushed down reality, pushed down the reality, all about the front. Remember I told you my friend texting in my presence and telling someone, that is great news, exclamation point, saying, I caught you. There you are. There it is. You don't really have this excitement, but you add the artificial exclamation point in order to make the recipient of your email think that you're excited, because that is what is expected of you. And again, I'm not blaming anyone. I do the same thing in the social media area, the texting area. But in the truth area, in the scriptures, we are tired, and I am tired. I have been tired for years, and I've not done it in years, of pushing down what I really think, what I really feel, and what I really want to say. That is why I come across sometimes as brash, bold, rude, impatient. And yet, it only looks rude to a generation that is used to stuffing its feelings. It's not really rude. It's reality. It's truth. But again, this is so rare. Nobody wants to confront it. People are afraid of it. Ooh, that guy says what he thinks. That's basically what it is. It's not that guy's rude, that guy's unfeeling, that guy's uncaring. No, it's just that we're not used to anybody saying what they really feel. Well, enough of that. Let's tap into what we really feel. And I want to apply this to the fruit of the Spirit, the nine fruit described by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5. And I want to dig below. This might take 2 days. This might take today and Monday. We'll see. I want to dig below how we're supposed to see this fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. There's the obvious thing. Well, obviously, this means this, and we're to present this, because there is, the Christian religion has their standard of what an expression of these fruits look like. Right? They have their standard of how this is supposed to look. If you're a loving person, this is how that's supposed to look. But I think that love in the Spirit has a depth and a color and a complexity that is so profoundly different than what the surface love that is acceptable in our social construct, in our society, looks like. And as you know, Christianity is just another social construct. So you cannot trust them to know how an expression of Spirit looks like. And this is something we deal with every day, which is why I'm talking about this. We deal with it every day. We analyze ourselves, which we shouldn't do. We let other people analyze us, which we shouldn't do. And people are fast to critique you, and especially when they know what you believe about God. Fast to critique. All right, I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. This is the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself is prompting him to say this, and the Spirit is the energy of God. This is what spirituality looks like right here. This is what it produces. Paul did not miss one of them. And the ones he mentioned were not wrong, were not misplaced. This didn't come out of Paul's own emotions. It didn't come out of Paul's own head. This is God telling us. This is God telling us what spirituality looks like. The first fruit of the Spirit, love. We have been so tricked as to what love really is that anyone showing true love is now considered to be practically a criminal. At the best, a rude person, a careless person, a person who holds other people's feelings lightly. Today, even in Christian circles, love is hugging someone, patting them on the back because you're nervous about it. It's flattering someone, telling them how wonderful they look, how smart they are, how wonderful they're doing at parenting, even if they're doing very poorly. It's about self-esteem. It's about sending cards to people at the right time. This is human love. This is Hallmark love. This is Christian love. What is the love Paul is talking about? Let's get beneath the waters, the churning, roiling waters on the surface of the sea, and let's go underneath this word. Agape, it's a Greek word for the love of God, for the kind of love God has. Agape love differs from other words that could be translated love this way, is that it is a love that is one-sided. It does not depend on its object to accept it. It does not depend on the worthiness of the object toward which it is going. It is love. The love of God is love. And the most beautiful thing about this love, and I have employed this in my life many times because I have had to, the love of God never fails. Paul says that, doesn't he, at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Love remains. The one remaining thing after everything goes away is love. And it is a love that at its deepest core will be interested in the welfare of its object. And if it is interested in the true welfare of its object, then it will risk offense. It will risk being unfriended, unloved by the object, when its goal the whole time is for the furtherance, the good, the welfare of the object. You've heard me say, and others, I didn't invent this term, obviously, it's tough love. In the Proverbs, faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend will tell you that your breath is bad. A friend will tell you that there's a tag hanging on the back of your pants. A friend will tell you that your life is going in the wrong direction. You're headed for disaster. You need to change course now. Even though this kind of love, which is the love of God toward us, this is the love of God toward us. This is deep love. The love of God toward us, I dare say, is tough love. Man, is it tough love. And yet, this is the kind of love we are to imitate. Is God worried about your feelings? No. Is he concerned for your growth? Yes. This is good now. Consider your love for other people as an imitation of the love of God for you. I wrote an article about love because I'm fascinated by this topic. And I quoted our Lord. He says the law can be summed up in this: love your associate as yourself. The King James and other Translations say, love your neighbor as yourself. And the subtitle of my article, well, the name of the article was Love Your Neighbor as Yourself. The subtitle was Sorry Neighbor, because I love myself with tough love. Here's how I love myself. I go out in the humidity and the heat of South Florida in the summer, like yesterday, for instance, 85 degrees, 71% humidity, the real feel, 94 degrees, and I run 8 miles. And when I'm done, it's like I've been drenched in the ocean. That's how I love myself. Some people would look at that and say, why does Martin Zender hate himself? No, Martin Zender loves himself because love is tough. Oh, you want me to love my associate as myself? Okay, watch out, associate, because here it comes. I'm going to give you the same kind of love, and it won't be easy on your flesh. Running 8 miles is not easy on my flesh, but it enhances my overall health, my overall sense of well-being. Just one example. God is always at work loving us, actively loving us, to the point where once in a while we want to say, okay, God, that's enough. You can stop loving me now. Give me a break. But he's looking down the tunnel of time into our future, into what he is making us, into what he is shaping us. And he knows exactly how to fit us in a perfect place where we will be in his kingdom. And when we see that perfect place, we are going to bow down and worship at his feet for loving us so much that he did not spare our feelings. He did not spare the possibility of us turning on him, because the love is just too much. It's too much. Stop loving me now. This is the beauty, the ultimate beauty of agape love, is that it keeps coming. It keeps coming. It can't be denied. The other kind of love, in the Greek, the word philia is used. It's friendship kind of love, where the reason you love the other person is because they're lovable. They're lovable. With philia love, you do consider the worthiness of the object. With philia love, people can leave each other all the time, and that love dies. With agape love, it never dies. Philia love is painful. It's painful when one person, say in a marriage, loves the other one, but the other one cannot receive it. And then you become angry because they won't receive your love, and so you withdraw your love, and everybody's cold. The person who has abandoned you is cold, and you're cold. The love of God looks at even abandonment, as Jesus Christ on the cross, abandoned by his own creation, abandoned by his apostles, and he felt abandoned by God. But that love is unstoppable. And there is a satisfaction in knowing that this fruit of the Spirit, love, the fruit of the Spirit is love. This is so satisfying. And this is where I left off yesterday. This is where I started yesterday too, saying that our excitement is not in these surface little lovey-dovey things, these Hallmark little niceties that can come and go. They come and go with the waves, come and go with the wind, come and go with your mood, come and go with the mood of the person you're trying to love. It's exciting on Valentine's Day when you give somebody flowers, give a woman or your boyfriend something as a present. It's exciting, it's exciting. You go out to dinner, it's exciting. Love, 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 love. You give somebody a card on Valentine's Day. What is this? What is this crap? True love is this deep love way under the ocean of emotions, on days on a calendar, and it is a love that just goes toward your object, whether your object is spitting in your face, whether your object is abandoning you, whether the object of your love even hates you. You do not have to respond in kind, and there is something so great knowing that the stream of your love that comes out of you, out of your spirit, toward the other person, the other thing, the other situation, whatever it is, it's unstoppable, and it will always have an effect. And it's satisfying to you, deeply satisfying, because it doesn't have to stop. Ha-ha, it doesn't depend on that person. Ha-ha, they can't stop you. I love that. They cannot stop you. Their hatred cannot stop you. Their abandonment cannot stop you. Nothing can stop it. I love you, no matter what. Oh, well, I don't like that. Too bad. You can't help it. I don't like that you love me. Stop loving me. Ha-ha. No, you're not going to make me do that, because this is the love of God. It's pure. It's deep. And this gives me it does translate into a feeling. It does. For the giver, for the possessor of this kind of love. It translates into a deep contentment, because finally, something I'm doing cannot be rejected. Oh, so many things are rejected in this world, so many of our ideas, so many of our opinions, so many of our feelings, but this, and this is a fruit, the first one of the Spirit that God gives us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, the kind of love I'm describing to you, which is agape love. So settling, so profoundly good, so profoundly of God, so profoundly rare, that Paul names it as the first fruit of the Spirit. It is true spiritual excitement when something in you that is born of the Spirit of God is so sure, so unwavering, with such a foundation as that it comes from God Himself, that it can't help but to produce some kind of deep and lasting contentment inside of you.